When we reached the church, however, not a soul was there. "I can't understand it," Nicholas said, getting out the letter we had received from the pastor. "I'm sure this is the right place." At 11 we decided it was useless to wait any longer. We went outside to where we had parked the car. Just as we were getting in, one of the villagers strolled past, paused long enough to shake my hand warmly, wish me Godspeed, and wander on. I was just turning again to open the door of the car when another villager ambled past, and the scene was repeated. For 45 minutes that morning the entire village just happened to be out for a stroll, and as luck would have it, they all happened to pass the visiting preacher's automobile so that they could meet him and shake his hand. Even Nicola was puzzled as to how to interpret this. A few days later we had an evening meeting scheduled in another town in Macedonia. The pastor invited us to dinner before the service at 8. At 8:05 I suggested to the pastor that we start for the church. "No," he said, looking outside, "it is not yet time." At 8:15 I brought the subject up again. "Don't you think people will be waiting?" "No, the time is not yet." Again I noticed he looked outside before he answered. At 8:30 the pastor finally went to the window, peered out, and nodded. "Now we can go," he said. "The people won't come to church, you know, until it gets dark. It isn't that we are doing anything illegal, but, well, it pays to be cautious." And then I saw the sight I was to become so familiar with all over Macedonia. From the darkened countryside kerosene lamps began to appear. The peasants came slowly across the fields, in twos and threes, never more, each man carrying a lamp. Then came the townspeople from the little mud houses that lined the only road, lanterns low so that their faces were in shadow. No one seemed to mind being recognized once he was inside the church. After all, everyone there was taking the same risk. The lamps were hung on hooks along the side of the room so that there was a warm and pleasant glow for the meeting. I spoke on Nicodemus, coining late in the night to make inquiries of Christ. He too, I said, had felt it advisable to seek the Lord under cover of darkness. It didn't matter. Time and place would always dictate how we made our first steps toward God. More than 200 persons had come that night to hear the foreigner speak. 85 of them used the occasion to commit their lives anew to the Christian way, even when that way led for the time being through darkness. It was in another village in Macedonia that we had our only serious encounter with the police. I had told Nicola that I wanted to visit Christians in both the large cities and the small towns. Nosaki was a small town, all right. Just getting there was an undertaking.